Our reading today is Mark 9, 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Let us pray. God, help us to remember today that we are never alone, that you walk with us, that you are on our journey, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. Help us to stand in the power of this truth, and by that confidence, be willing to open our hearts, our ears, our eyes, so that we might receive what you have for us today. God, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, might be acceptable to you alone, for you, O God, are my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Listen for what the Spirit is saying. This is often what we share in worship as an invitation or response. As we prepare to hear the scriptures read aloud in worship here at Foundry, I remember my first Sunday here and receiving and hearing that invitation, which is not something that every church uses as they prepare to hear or respond to the scriptures. And I remember my reaction to it. It seems that there is an openness about this language. An admission that there is meaning in and around and underneath the printed words, a message that may be for all of us, and on some occasions, something that the Spirit might be trying to say especially to you or to me, something that perhaps no one else will hear. The invitation to listen for the Spirit and to hear what the Spirit is saying also affirms that God is involved. That, as our United Church of Christ sisters and brothers remind us, God is still speaking. I trust that we all know the challenges involved in truly listening. When I've counseled folks who are preparing for marriage, one of the things they love me for is that I have the couple practice what is called active listening. And my role in that is to observe and be a coach. They love this. They don't really love it. Active listening, you may already know, but active listening is a process in which one person speaks and then the other person reflects back what it is that they heard. It doesn't take long to realize just how much practice it takes to really listen and to hear what the other person is saying. Without practice, we end up receiving the other person's words, but mostly hearing what we think they are going to say. Or, even as they are still speaking, we are busy formulating our response. In other words, often when we think we are listening to someone else, we're mostly hearing ourselves. Bede Griffiths, the late English Benedictine monk who founded an ashram in India, once said that he didn't think that a Western Christianity had the power to lead people to God anymore. He said, all they keep doing is meeting themselves and calling it God. Now, I personally think that that's a bit of an exaggeration. At least I hope it is, being that we're all sitting here in the midst of a Western Christian community. But, and I also, by the way, think that people in both East and West can fall into that trap of only hearing the sound of our own voice. But I do think that Griffith's point resonates. What he was speaking to is an experience of people that he encountered there in India who had a willingness to try to get themselves out of the way so that God could enter in. In our scripture today, we're told that 6 days prior to the extraordinary events that are described in our gospel text, Jesus told his disciples what was going to happen to him. He began to speak and to say that he was going to suffer, that he was going to be killed, that on the third day he would rise again. Peter did not want to hear it. And Jesus' response in that occasion was to say, Peter, get behind me. Your mind is on human things, not on divine things. And then he gathered the disciples and the greater crowds around him and began to teach what divine things might be like. And what he said was this: deny yourself, take up your cross, lose your life for the sake of God's good news, because that is the only way to truly have or save or keep your life. That is what I'm doing, he said. Follow me. And 6 days after this, Jesus took Peter and James and John and went up onto a high mountain to pray. And in the midst of wondrous and fearful visions, difficult to explain, there comes one very clear message for everyone present. This is my beloved child. Listen to him. Listen. Now, one would think that such an amazing experience, coupled with this very clear message, would have an impact on those present. But it seems that listening was just as difficult for those first disciples as it tends to be for us. Because Jesus has to keep repeating himself over and over again. The very same scenario that I just described happened again. Not once, but twice on the other side of that mountain. Jesus again speaks of his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And the disciples, who were clearly not practicing active listening, completely miss the point. The first time when Jesus has spoken of what is to come, the disciples immediately begin to argue as they journey along about who among them is the greatest. And the second time that Jesus says, no, no, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, James and John, who, we will note, had been up on the mountain with Jesus and Peter, who had witnessed the voice from the cloud, and even still they, following that event, after Jesus once again has said what is going to happen, they come to him and say, but can't you put us at one side and the other in your coming kingdom? We want positions of power, you see. And on these occasions, just as in the first, Jesus responds to the disciples' misunderstanding, their lack of hearing, by telling them again what he's trying to say. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Die to self so that you can rise to a new life in God's love, a life that manifests in self-giving service to others. Jesus had to keep saying it and saying it and saying it. Three times this pattern. Three times Jesus speaks of dying and of rising. Why is it so hard for the disciples to listen and to hear what the Spirit is saying? Why is it so hard for us? Well, I think Bede Griffiths was right about how difficult it is for us to get ourselves out of the way so that we can actually be open to receive from God, so that we can truly listen to a voice that is not just the echo of our own. That takes practice. But then, if we are able to grow quiet enough to get the message, then the message itself presents its own challenge, because if we listen to the voice of Jesus, what we hear, this business about dying and rising, threatens the status quo of our lives. It expects something to change. It even demands it. Because if we're listening, Jesus' teaching about denying the false self and claiming our true humanity is in direct opposition to the world that tells us to invest in self-help, in self-promotion, in self-defense. It might be hard to listen because Jesus' insistence that we can both receive his message and follow him challenges any notion of ourselves as either too important or too insignificant to serve others and make a difference. Jesus' call to serve others is not a cozy, comfortable idea that we can accomplish by simply liking certain posts on Facebook or retweeting the pithy ideas of other people. Though, in my experience, even doing that can put us in an uncomfortable position with friends and family. Amen. But to really listen to Jesus is to hear ourselves being called out. Being called out of complacency. To hear ourselves being given work to do. Being given responsibility not only for ourselves and our own stuff, but for the loving care of all we encounter. It's to hear a call to true solidarity with suffering. The suffering in our own lives and the suffering of others. To sit with that in ourselves, to sit with that in others, and to allow the brokenness then to lead where it will. I wonder why we don't want to hear that. Of course we don't want to hear it. And yet that is what Jesus says. That's where Jesus is going. Jesus, you see, knew how to sit with the suffering that he encountered and to allow the brokenness to lead him where it would lead him. He knew where it was leading. And it was only after he was led there, all the way to the cross and beyond, that those first disciples really heard what the Spirit was saying. And their lives were changed. I don't know how we finally manage to get to the point where we get ourselves out of the way enough so that we can actually listen and be changed by what we hear. But I know that it happens. My faith and my experience suggest that God's grace is a primary agent in this work. But I do know that it happens because I've heard the testimonies of folks who've told me that it has happened for them. A woman who had a vision in the desert, a man who was consoled by his friends at the death of his son, a transcendent experience on a mission trip in which someone's face who was receiving care was transformed, transfigured even, the birth of a child that changed life forever, a moment of deep suffering which reminded someone that they were no longer in charge. These things happen and open up a way for God to get in. Spiritual writer Frederick Buechner tells of a moment in his life when something broke him open so that he could really listen. He received a phone call from a dear friend who was in crisis and who needed his help. At the time, Buechner was in a period of his own life where he was in retreat from the world he did not want to deal. He didn't want to be out there. He didn't want to be bothered. He wanted some peace. And yet, he says, my friend's broken voice on the phone was a voice calling me out into that dangerous world, not simply for my friend's sake, as I suddenly saw it, but also for my sake. The shattering revelation of that moment was that true peace is to be had not in retreat from the battle, but only in the thick of the battle. To journey for the sake of saving our own lives is little by little to cease to live in any sense that really matters, even to ourselves, because it is only by journeying for the world's sake, even when the world bores and sickens and scares you half to death, that little by little we start to come alive. This, it seems, is the deep truth that Caleb Mueller discovered at a very young age. You know of Caleb Mueller. I trust many of you have heard her story over this past week. I, like so many, have been inspired by that story. She's a 26-year-old woman who was held hostage by the Islamic State militants for 18 months. Her death was recently confirmed. And even in the midst of all the tragedy that we have experienced as a nation, even just in the last week, and even in the midst of the tragedy of Kayla's death, I have been inspired by her story. She devoted her life to serving others. You can read about it all over the place. Most recently, she was working with Syrian refugees. In a letter she wrote to her family in 2011, Kayla says, I find God in the suffering eyes reflected in mine. I've known for some time what my life's work is, using my hands as tools to relieve suffering. Somehow, Kayla Mueller not only listened and heard God's voice, but was given grace and courage to respond and to be a loving, healing presence in the broken places of the world. Hers was a life of sacrificial love and self-giving service, and her life is a powerful testimony to the impact that such a life can make, both in this world and out of it. And I must add, I'm thankful for Kayla's life that truly reflects the beauty and the heart of our Christian faith in a time when, as one writer says, and I quote, this time when a perverse form of Christianity has emerged in American culture, a Christianity that conflates the glorification of God and guns, that incites the hatred of Muslims, that sees wealth and power as signs of God's blessings. The words and actions of Kayla Mueller offer, I think, a welcome corrective to these perversions of the way of Jesus. She listened. And she heard the true call, I believe, the true call of the gospel to go where suffering, where brokenness would lead her. A couple of weeks ago, a post appeared on my Facebook page from a young man I met 4 years ago in Liberia. Michael must be about 16 years old now. He was a student at the school where my former congregation is engaged in ongoing mission. And like most of the students there, faces a very challenging future with few resources. Every so often, I'll receive a message from Michael. The other day, I found myself brought up short, and I just stared at the screen for longer than usual. His post simply said, "Don't forget me." Something about it on that day just seemed to slice through the inner prattling that would normally keep me from hearing him, from paying attention, from listening to what he was saying. But on that day, something just got through, and I just sat with his words. "Don't forget me." That same week, I had an encounter with a woman who said to me, "You know, I feel like you don't see me." And another conversation with a man who said, "I want you to know me so that I won't feel so lonely." And I began to hear a voice, as out of a cloud, saying, "Listen. Listen to my beloved. Listen to Jesus in the voices of the vulnerable and the hurting and the angry. Listen for what the Spirit is saying, even in the midst of overwhelming need, even in the midst of deep discomfort and struggle, even in the midst of heartbreaking loneliness. Listen. I've been bringing these thoughts, these conversations and encounters into my prayers these last few weeks, asking for guidance, mindful of the fact that I am finite, I hate that, finite, and can only do what I can do, but I trust that God wants in these encounters, in these words, if I will listen, I trust that God wants to teach me something or lead me somewhere or stretch me somehow to be a more humble, loving servant through the words I have received. I've been trying to listen. And that's what we're all asked to do today. To try to listen. And to remember that what we're asked to listen to is both spoken by Jesus and embodied by him. It's humble service and self-giving love. Can we get ourselves out of the way? Listen. No one of us can meet every need. Only some of us will be led to refugee camps in foreign countries. But all of us can pray for the grace to truly hear the voice of Christ in the words of Scripture, in the saints past and present, in the voices of all those around us who may be saying things hard to hear, and to be open to the particular ways that God is trying to speak to you, to get through to you, to call you, and to act in and through your life. Listen for what the Spirit is saying. in the suffering of your life as much as in the joy, in the anxiety as much as in the peaceful place, in the drudgery as much as in the beauty. And then listen with a humble heart, a quiet mind, and an open door. And be ready to step back onto the journey from the place of revelation and transfiguration to wherever the path and God's love leads you. It won't be simple or easy. That is certain. But what is even more certain still is that life, deep and true, awaits.